It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
And welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, July the 30th, and we are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas, where we are sizzling here. The temperatures have been up about 100 degrees and higher for the last couple of weeks, with a high yesterday of 107. So I hope that wherever you are staying cool, and we're going to try to keep it cool here this evening. And Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of the program, is here with us to make the show run, and we have another great program in store for you. In a few minutes, we'll be joined on the phone from New Jersey, where the weather, I hear, is beautiful right now, by Judith Levy to talk about her book, Activities to Do with Your Parent Who Has Alzheimer's Dementia. And this is a really, I think, a really helpful book. I wish I would have had it back when my grandmother had Alzheimer's. And I think that it will be a really interesting discussion with Judith in a few minutes. And later in the program, Molly Lord, speaker, educator, and founder of Tuned In Productions, and Kathy Sparrow, writing coach and self-leadership expert, author, and founder of Writing at Your Edge, will join us to talk about their exciting upcoming workshop, Your Sacred Song, Reigniting Forgotten Dreams. So we'll be interested to hear more about that workshop, which will be in Colorado. And during the program, I will talk about the power of gratitude to change our mood, our health, and our life. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers, and for the past few years have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for veterans' families, check out their website, heroesnightout.org. Want to contact me? Do you have a question, or is there something that you want me to know about? Feel free to send me an email to Dr. Mara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website, drmarakarpel.com, or give me a call at 512-973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Coastal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and is sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can send him an email to rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. This evening's program is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Throughout this evening's program, we will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests, as long as you get them to me while the guests are still on the line. And my email again is drmara, that's D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and the link to the podcast will be posted later tonight, along with all of the website links given by my guests on the program. You can also hear the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going to Blog Talk Radio, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information from this show, from previous programs and updates about upcoming programs, to read my blogs in Huffington Post, Thrive Global, and Medium.com, find out about my upcoming books, watch the videos that we have done of live interviews, you can find that all on my website, drmarakarpel.com, D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L.com. And you can listen to all of the previous shows done here on Blog Talk Radio by going to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, for all of the latest information up to date and in real time. All right, so we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, Judith Levy will be joining us to talk about her book, Activities to Do with Your Parent Who Has Alzheimer's Dementia. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years right here on drmarakarpel.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And now joining us on the phone from New Jersey, we have Judith Levy to talk about her book, Activities to Do with Your Parent Who Has Alzheimer's Dementia. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Yes, I'm so happy to have you on this program. And, I have a copy of the book, and I looked through it, and I wish I would have had this when my grandmother was alive. This is a wonderful, wonderful book. But
I'm excited about it. The book came out. It's just about 3 years ago, and I wrote it. My mother had dementia for 10 years, and by training, I'm an occupational therapist, and I worked over 40 years doing adult rehab. And each time that I saw a patient at the hospital or wherever I was working at the time, and I would come home, the patient I was done. But when my mother was diagnosed with dementia, I would come home and the patient didn't get left behind at the hospital. The patient was my mother and it was my responsibility. And it was difficult and it was frustrating, and I wrote a book.
Okay. Yeah, well, so, you know, let's back up a little bit. Why don't you talk a little bit about your background so listeners get an idea who you are.
What I've done as a therapist? Okay. I graduated from Boston University and with a degree in occupational therapy, and I graduated from Rutgers with a degree in allied health professions. I worked at New York Hospital, which is now New York Cornell. They merged with Presbyterian. And I worked there. I worked at a cerebral palsy center. I set up an OT program at a hospital for adult rehab. I set up camp programs for children with learning disabilities and did, at the time it was called perceptual motor training, for children for school programs, which they didn't have in school programs. Then I did home care, and then I worked part-time doing outpatient adult rehab. Pretty much, though, my emphasis has really been on adult rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit of everything. I taught a nursing program where they were getting certified to be home health aides, and I guest lectured at Kane College, which is a college in New Jersey for occupational therapy students on developmental assessments for children. So I've kind of done a cross-section for the past 40 years of a little bit of everything. And this was a little bit different. And the problem that I had with the dementia that my mom had was that if we were lucky enough to have AIDS, but if the aide came on and she did a wonderful activity and the aide left at the end of her shift, there wasn't a communication between the aides on what worked, because the first aide wanted to go home. And
right.
So the second aide was reinventing the wheel all the time. And I wanted, the daughter in me wanted my mother to be busy, purposefully busy. The therapist in me wanted the aides to know what to do and how to do it so that my mother would benefit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the framework for the book.
Okay, so you wrote it 3 years ago. When was your mother diagnosed with Alzheimer's?
She was diagnosed when she was 88, and she died. She was just going to be 98. She had it for 10 years.
Wow.
And, we really never thought about it because nobody in the family ever lived to be as old as she lived. I think people are really living so much longer that, you know, you're finding dementia where nobody ever had a history of it. So we were kind of surprised by it.
And so she had it for quite a while before you wrote this book. So did you have some years of frustration? And
we had a long time of frustration. I was the sibling that got to take away the checkbook and took away the car and took away the house, actually, and she moved to be in an apartment closer to me. So I think that one child in the family usually gets the heavy dealing with the parent, and if you have your whole family comes together to work on it, you're blessed. So that's really, you know, yeah. Sometimes people get lucky.
Right. So you started writing this book based on your experience with your mom. How did you start coming up with these ideas?
Oh, boy. That's the therapist in me. I do things. I like to come up with new ideas. I get bored if I'm doing the same thing all the time. It's boring. And it's boring to go in and do the same thing and have the same discussion sometimes 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 times in a row without coming up with some idea of how to do it a little bit differently. And when they talk about caregiver burnout, that's like you have a person who doesn't remember a conversation and has – they're lovely – but they could have the same conversation with you nonstop. One example, though, I can recall is that my mother got mad at me for something that I said. And I don't remember what I said. I just know that she was mad at me. So I left the room, and I came back in, and she didn't remember that she was mad at me. So that was kind of helpful. The moment was to change, to take a break in the conversation. that sometimes you want to, the difficulty with someone that has Alzheimer's, at least for me in dealing with my mom, was that I wanted my mother to still be my mother, and she was struggling, and it doesn't necessarily happen that your parent can stay being the parent that you want them to be. So, and no matter what you do, they aren't able to change. You really have to be the one to change.
Right.
So.
Right. And, you know, in my experiences, you know, both with my grandmother and the frustration and seeing her lose her memories, and working in facilities, so I worked in a lot of nursing homes and assisted living communities and worked with several residents who had early stages of Alzheimer's disease. I saw their families get very frustrated with, you know, what you're describing, that their parent is changing, they're losing their memory of their life.
I think the easiest way to describe it to somebody who's not sure what they're seeing is that if somebody has cognitive loss, and it can be Alzheimer's or it could be a head injury or it could be any other multitude of things that cause cognitive dementia, is that if you think of your life as a tall building, and the present day is the attic. When somebody with dementia starts to lose memory, they're losing the attic, and then they're losing 14th floor and the 13th floor and the 12th floor, so that their memory is getting further and further away. And an example being when I would call my mother and my sister would call my mother, our voices are very similar on the phone, and she had no problem identifying us by our voice. If she saw us in person, she had no concept of who we were because we weren't 6 or 7 years old anymore. And the person that she saw didn't represent the voice that she heard. And which, if you can step back and appreciate that, it's you have to pay attention to it, but when you're living it, it's very difficult.
So the
using an activity, it's the purpose of the book is to help you feel that you have a means to interact with your parent. So hopefully the goal is socialization and to increase your comfort level in dealing with your parent. And it doesn't have to be a parent. I got asked that. One of the questions you had mentioned to me was, does it have to be for a parent? And no, it doesn't. It could be for a brother. It could be for a cousin. It could be for a friend. It could be for your friend who's a football player whose head got hit and they have a concussion and their behavior's different. It's how you approach, you know, somebody who has cognitive loss.
Right. So do you find that, you know, with these activities, did you find that it helped you maintain a relationship with your mom, even though some of the memories of the things you've done together were gone?
I had to change my expectations of what I expected her to be able to do, but I absolutely had a relationship with her. She was a bridge player. She was like this really sharp bridge lady. And she liked cards, but she couldn't play bridge anymore. So as an example of what we did as her dementia worsened, is we went from bridge to gin to war, where you each have half a deck of cards, to sorting by the different cards in the deck, which ones were red, which ones were black, to doing numbers from one up to king or king down to one, or finding all the kings or number matching. And then we would build with the cards. We would see who could build a house with the cards. So we still use things that were familiar to her, but what the book aims to do is to try to get you to just look at something a little bit differently, so that it's another. I like to play mahjong. My mother liked to play mahjong, so she liked the pictures on the tiles, and we would play a game where we would build towers and see who could build a taller tower. So it wasn't the game anymore; it was the tile, and we were playing. And she she had a good time.
And you were maintaining a relationship with her,
absolutely.
Doing that.
And we could go, or she could change the subject. If she changed the subject, that was fine. and whatever she wanted to do. If she didn't like it, I put it away. Normally, I would say that her attention span went from being, you know, hours when she was healthy and vital to being maybe 20 to 30 seconds. And when we were doing an activity, she really could benefit, I would say, for about 10 to 15 minutes before she got antsy and had to move around.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I mention in the book is that how you position yourself when you're working with your parent or your client or whomever it is that you're with. And can they see you? Can they hear you? Where should you sit if they can't see you? And you should sit so that they can see you and that they can hear you. Sometimes people aren't responding because they can't hear, or they have wax
mm-hmm.
in their ears, or, you know, something that you don't seem to just step back and look at what they're doing. There was
right.
a lovely nurse that I met that she said she goes to visit her mother that's in a nursing home, and she wanted to play catch with her mother. And every time she threw the ball to her mother winced and dropped the ball.
Uh-huh.
So but she wanted to play catch with her mother. So part of the issue was that, one, the ball came to her mother too quickly, and she couldn't focus on it fast enough, and it was too hard, and she was afraid of it. So we talked about switching to a helium mm-hmm. balloon that might move slower through space. The other thing is rolling the ball across the table or even bouncing the ball. So
mm-hmm.
You want to just look at what your parent likes to do and then step back and see if you can change it up a little bit.
Right.
Is that?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And there's still, you know, and it seems, I know that some of these memories are really old. And as you said, you know, those are the last ones to go, the really old memories. Does it seem that when you played some of these games with her, it helped her to know who she was and keep her identity because she was playing something so familiar?
Yes and no. She wanted to please me, so consequently, she wanted the interaction. It wasn't the game as much as the game gave us a means to have an interaction.
Uh-huh.
So in that regard, one of the examples I use in the book is the, you know, the little letters the kids use on the refrigerator to spell out the magnetic letters to do words?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well,
mm-hmm.
I wanted her to do the alphabet. We were doing something and doing words, and I got a whole bunch of the letters, and we sorted them by letter, and we sorted them by color, and I asked her if she could come up with words for each one of the letters. And when she got stuck, we would go back to singing the alphabet song. So
mm-hmm.
A, B, C, D, and then she would be able to pick up and go. But as I said in the book, one of the examples when I said to her, okay, Mom, give me a word that begins with an E, I expected her to say egg, and she looked at me and she said experience. And you have
uh-huh.
to step back and realize that they may have dementia, but they're not stupid. And
right.
they're people who have memory loss, and that's what you have to step back. And they're trying very hard to please you, and they can get frustrated
mm-hmm.
in the process. So
mm-hmm.
I had one person's reaction to the book also. They said to me they thought that it was only geared for women, and it really isn't. I was dealing with my mother, and that's how I framed the activities. But basically it's for anybody, male or female. And one man had asked me at one point that he liked to go to a baseball game with his father, and it was too interruptive now to go to a baseball game because of all the gates and going through and security and whatever else it was. So
mm-hmm.
we came up with going to a Little League game because he could
mm-hmm.
go with his grandchild, and it wasn't so intense, and he was still getting the pleasure of going to a baseball game.
Yeah.
So, that's the kind of thing that I hope the book gets people to step back and look at activity as a means to interact.
Right, right. It's not the goal to win the game. It's the goal to do something that is sociable or, you know, feel
right.
good.
It's
yeah.
not the activity per se. It's the interaction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important because, like I said, when I worked in those communities, and the children would get so frustrated, and they just didn't know what to do with their parents because they just couldn't engage in the same kind of conversations that they used to have with them.
No, they can't, and it's hurtful. Some of it is when my mother didn't know who I was anymore and she didn't remember my name, I had an aide with me, and I said to her, "Mom, who am I?" Because I really wanted her to know who I was. And the aide looked at me, and she was shaking her head and like, "Don't do that, don't do that." And finally my mother looked at me, and she says, "I think you're a relative." And I said, "Fantastic, Mom, I am a relative." And she says, "I think you're my aunt." And I said, "I am." Because to her, that's what I was. And it wasn't important. It was just, and I was wrong because I was pushing her.
Right.
So it's very frustrating to have this. And it doesn't go away quickly. And it doesn't stay easy. And it's difficult. But one of the other things you had asked me in the list of things that you asked me to consider in speaking with you is how to use the book. And
basically,
you could rip the book apart. The activity sheet that's in it is a means to help you assess how you did. If you do an activity, what time of day do you do it? Where is your parent sitting? Is it morning? Is it after breakfast? Is it after lunch? Did it work? Did it not work? What could you do differently? So that hopefully you could look at it and be a little objective on how you are and how to use it. But pretty much, I would rip out the page with the assessment sheet and make copies and use a pencil and then give it to the next aide that's coming on or the next sibling that's coming in to visit and say, "This worked really well. Mom loved it." And use it because it's to be used for you, you know, with your family member.
So it kind of keeps track of what works and what doesn't.
And what didn't.
And can you just jump through the different exercises and see, you know, the different activities and just see which ones you think you might choose something that you think that fits with what they used to enjoy?
I'll say watching television, okay?
Okay.
And then that will be my example. Is watching television. Somebody may have loved watching, oh goodness, I can't think of Dallas. You're in Texas. Dallas, with the intrigue going on between all the family members of what's going on. And as they get more involved and the illness affects them more, they can't keep track of all the different characters. So really what you want to do is get to something that's less almost threatening. It's threatening to not be able to follow and to be frustrated. And the purpose of the television show is not to do that. But you might sit down and watch America's Got Talent, where somebody's got a skill in their singing, because everybody loves singing. And one of the last things to be lost cognitively is music. So the shows that have music, it's wonderful. And that's something that's not a serial that you have to follow. Rather, it's a specific short thing to interact with that you can both have a conversation. I'm not a fan of Barney because it's really juvenile, but my mother loved Barney, the purple. She found him charming. And so my preconceived notions of what was appropriate for her didn't matter anymore because it didn't matter. It wasn't me anymore. This wasn't about me. So does that?
I saw that you put in dancing and my grandmother loved to dance. So even when she was at the point where she could no longer speak, I mean, her language was made up of nonsense syllables. We would put on music, and, you know, she was still physically able. She would get up, and somebody, one of us would, you know, my family, or I had a friend visiting. We would get up, and we have a video of my friend who is twice the size of my grandmother. My grandmother shrunk down really small. And my friend is tall, and they just started dancing, holding hands and dancing to the music, and my grandmother was laughing and just having a ball.
What a wonderful memory.
Yeah.
Sometimes, too, when somebody gets more involved, it's nice that she was still so mobile. When someone is bedridden with dementia and you put on music, you still could put a scarf on someone's wrist to have them continue making motion to go with the music, and or even putting, you know what the children they have in the kids' little drum sets, they have like a wristband that has bells on it?
Mm-hmm.
You have, just moving that you have music that you're making. Music is wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a music therapist on a while ago, and she was telling us that music is stored in different parts of the brain so that even with dementia, music, like you just said, is the last to go.
Right.
So, you know, I've seen people with dementia who could hardly speak remember all of the lyrics to songs. Once you put on the music.
We put on the radio sometimes, and I can know words from songs from way back when that I can't believe I know the words to it.
Right,
so,
right.
Yes.
And my dad had gotten a brain injury a few years ago, and, you know, he had trouble forming sentences, and it was around my birthday time, and he had always called, he and my mom had always called me on my birthday to sing happy birthday to me. So I told my brother, who was there, who lived nearby, to please practice the birthday song. Because I knew that he would be able to sing that, and you know, let him know my birthday was coming up and he had to practice. And then on my birthday, they called me and he sang the whole birthday song to me.
Isn't that wonderful?
That was pretty amazing. It was.
That's awesome.
It was. Yep. And he was smiling and happy because he felt like he had accomplished something.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm. So do you have any tips that you could give to listeners right now off the bat if they're dealing with having a family member who has Alzheimer's?
Well, I can brainstorm if somebody has a specific question, if they want to call you. I don't like things to cost money. Because it's not necessary to spend money. You have things in your house that you can use. If you want to work on the alphabet and you took a magazine, you could rip out all the letter A's. Or you could take a pen and you could circle all the letter A's. I like the song YMCA where you're singing and it's the alphabet. I'm just trying to think about how to take something across different things. We ripped out the newspaper. We ripped up things. I ripped up a lot of things. And pretty much we did letters. Give me a word that begins with the letter A. Do fruits. Can you give me? We would play ghost. You know how children play ghost?
Mm-hmm.
Where you do the last letter, you do your own rules, but just a means to interact. I guess I caused frustration. I would go in and I would take the silverware out of the silverware drawer divider, you know, the plastic dividers for silverware,
right.
And I would put one fork, one knife, one spoon in, and then I would give her the silverware and ask her to put it away that I needed her help. And she was thrilled. She was just thrilled. That's
right.
An easy one. Because what to you is a chore, to them is something that's they're familiar with it and they're working to do something. And it's purposeful, setting the table. I really like the cans of pre-made icing for cupcakes, and then you could have your grandchildren over to ice some cupcakes and then have dessert. It doesn't have to be where you sit down with crayons and coloring book or that you have a specific agenda. It's just relating. It's really just relating and treating the person as an individual. And basically, activity, to me, is a means to interact. It doesn't have to be a, you know, quote, activity per se. Getting dressed and making the decision based on the weather, you're saying you have 107 degrees in Austin. Do you need a sweater or a winter coat when it's 107? That's an activity. So it's how you look at it and giving somebody the chance to make choices based on what they think.
So they feel useful.
Yeah. And the benefit, too, for caregivers that are working with your family member or people in a nursing home that are working with it, is if they can step back and look at activity that way, it's a really good way to not burn out, because they can realize that what they're doing is really necessary and valued.
That's,
you know, if they're just going in to wash somebody instead of saying, help me by washing your face, and then I'll help you with your arm and your leg or whatever, that's an activity.
That's a good point. So, Judy, if people are interested in reading this book, how can they find out more about the book and how to purchase it?
The book is available on Amazon, and the name of the book is Activities to Do with Your Parent Has Alzheimer's Dementia. And I just looked at it. Amazon has it on sale right now for $13.49 for the book. And it's not in your local bookstore, because I wrote it on CreateSpace, which is the an arm of Amazon. But it's only available on Amazon. And if you want to get in contact with me, it's dementiaactivities@gmail.com. So there's two A's stuck in the middle. dementiaactivities@gmail.com.
Okay. All right. And I will post the link to the book and also your email address on my web post about the show later tonight.
That's really nice of you. Thank you.
Yeah, that way people can just go there if they didn't have their pen and paper ready. Okay.
I hope you find it helpful, and I appreciate the opportunity that you've given me to be on your show.
Thank you for coming on the show. I think it was really, really valuable, and I hope that people will purchase it and use it, because I think, you know, I really, really wish I would have had it when I needed it, and I think it's extremely valuable. So
thank you.
Well, good luck to you and with this book.
Thank you.
All right.
And good luck with your next speaker. I'll be listening.
Yes, thanks. Okay. Well,
okay,
you have a good evening.
You too, Mara. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaracarpel.com.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmaracarpel.com. And now, before I go on to talk about gratitude, which I will talk about before Kathy Sparrow and Molly Lord join us, let me just fill you in on some news. So Art has been uploading the YouTube videos of all of the interviews that I have done in the studio, in the Austin studio, when the guest has been live here in Austin since the beginning of 2016. And we're almost all caught up with all of the videos. I think we have one or two left, and they're all on my YouTube page. So if you could go, you can go to YouTube and just put in a search for Dr. Mara Karpel, or you can go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and click on videos, and they should all be there. And so it's fun to actually see the interviews. These were interviews that were live on the radio, but now you can actually watch the guest. So take a look at that. And also, as you may know, I'm a regular contributor to ThriveGlobal.com, and they just published a blog that I did last November for Huffington Post about dealing with stress after the election. And this has nothing to do with politics. As you know, it's been a stressful time for people, very divided, and so it's a psychological perspective on how to deal with the stress. And so you can check that out at thriveglobal.com. And again, put in my name, Mara Karpel, and you should be able to find it. You can also find my article, my blog that I wrote that was published last week in medium.com about perspective and gaining a perspective about your life. And I think I got a lot of good feedback about that one, so you might want to take a look at that. And that's on medium.com, and it's also on my website. And I'm getting ready to publish my first book, and I just created a Facebook page where you can get all of the latest updates as this book is getting ready to be published. And to find my Facebook page, the name of it is The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. So look that up on Facebook, and you'll get all the up-to-the-minute notices about that. And you can also find that on Dr. Mara Karpel in Your Golden Years on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter. I will publish the news as soon as I have it. All right, so let me quickly talk about having an attitude of gratitude. If we don't get to it all this evening, then I'll continue it next week. But, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is if you're a regular on social media, you might notice all of the beautiful vacation pictures, happy family pictures, success photos that many of your friends post. And often when things appear to not be going so well in your own life, you find yourself comparing your life with theirs and feeling that your life falls short, or whether it's in some way, whether it's in a big way or even a small way. So, for example, as I mentioned, the temperature here has been extremely hot, not the type of temperature where you want to be outside enjoying nature. I'm inside looking out the window at nature, but I look at photos of my friends and family up in the Northeast and friends on vacation in cooler climates enjoying beautiful weather and lush greenery, and I start to feel a little jealous. And you know, I remember what summers were like when I lived in the Northeast and how they were my favorite time of year, and I wish I were there. Okay, so that's not really terrible, but this can spiral down into many other comparisons and worries about life and feeling like your life is not as good as other people. Many of us worry about money and about paying bills. And one way or another, we often feel like we're not enough or we don't have enough. And this leads to depression and anxiety and just not enjoying the life that we have for what it is. So I've been working at trying to incorporate more gratitude in my life for what I have. And I think, you know, it's kind of hard at times to do that when we're in the middle of feeling bad. It's hard to start to feel grateful. But, you know, by practicing it, really making an effort to practice saying I'm grateful for this and this, and really looking at things to be grateful for, even small things to be grateful for, it starts to spiral up. You start to feel better. You know, there may be big stressors in your life, big crises going on in your life, but even in those times, it's really important to find things to be grateful for. So, for example, while I was sweating in my house with the air conditioner trying to keep up with the cool, with the hot weather, trying to keep it cool inside, I began to think about how lucky I am to live in a place with such beautiful winters. As a fellow New Yorker here in Texas said to me the other day, remember, you didn't move here for the summers, you moved here for the winters. And that's really true. In the wintertime, I'm loving the weather here and glad that I'm not in the cold and snow. So, you know, being grateful for what is really important. So I started thinking about that and started thinking about all of the other positive things that I do have in my life. And just the fact that I'm here and I'm healthy and I'm breathing, that I have life, is something to be grateful for. You know, remember when you look at other people's photos that you're getting a two-dimensional picture of what's really happening in their life and in their life. And it's really, their life is mixed as well. It's not all positive like you see on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. There's ups and downs, and they're just showing the ups, which we all do. We're only seeing happy snapshots. So it's really important to realize that our life is also not just negative stuff, that we have happy moments as well, even when things are more stressful. To work on improving ourselves and having the opportunity to have ideas about how we can feel better, something to be grateful for. Just knowing that having this practice of gratitude can help us feel better is something to be grateful for. And we can keep learning and growing for as long as we're here. And when I practice this, I noticed that it started to take hold, and I noticed a shift. Suddenly, I felt optimistic and I felt happy, and it's the optimism and happiness that brings about more things to be grateful for. Focusing our attention on what we feel thankful for changes our perspective and even changes our reality. It brings more things into our life to be happy for. Like Oprah Winfrey is quoted as saying, what you focus on expands. So having gratitude for what we have and looking for the silver linings in the less than ideal situations brings us feelings of optimism, peace, and enthusiasm to keep up our work and in following our dreams. So if we start feeling down, we kind of lose our momentum in following our dreams. But if we can feel thankful for even small bits of progress towards our dreams, then it keeps us motivated. And then we start to see more progress towards our dreams and have more to feel grateful for. And, you know, as I said, we can feel grateful for even trivial things. Yesterday, I figured out a way of saving a little bit of money, and I felt thrilled. I was grateful that I had had this insight into a way of saving a little bit of money. So, you know, life is not all rainbows and unicorns, but when we have gratitude for the small positive things in our life, then we can become more resilient to handle the stressors in our lives, and we become more optimistic and more creative in how to deal with the stressors in our life, and we have more energy and more motivation to keep plowing forward. An article, How to Think Like a Winner by Dr. Genevieve Cadell, she writes that even when things are not going 100% perfectly well, by maintaining an attitude of gratitude, winners keep their focus on what is going well, appreciate it, and see more of what is going well in their life. As she states, champions are not complainers. Rather, they find the opportunities for growth in what may not be going well. So, you know, having an attitude of gratitude has a tremendous effect on decreasing our internal stress and increasing our mood and vitality and our health. And in fact, Dr. Robert Ammons, professor of psychology and researcher at the University of California, Davis, completed extensive research in the area of the effects of gratitude on our emotional and physical well-being. And his overall finding has been that gratitude is what gives life meaning. And among his findings was that people who kept gratitude journals, writing down what they were grateful for every day, felt physically healthier and had a more optimistic perspective. But he also found that having an attitude of gratitude is something that we have to make a conscious effort in order to cultivate. It's not easy. As I said, when we're dealing with stressful situations, the tendency is to feel stressed out and to not feel grateful, to look at other people and think their life is much better and that we're not enough or we don't have enough. So in order to develop this attitude of gratitude and to build this resilience, we have to make a conscious effort. And one way to do that is, it's simple. I mean, it's not easy, but it's simple. One way is to write down 3 to 5 things, big or small, daily that you feel grateful for. And that's it. Just keep track every day. And it could be as simple as, I'm grateful that I had a chance to have a cappuccino today. You know, something really small, and it can be big things, like I'm grateful for my wonderful family, I'm grateful for my health and my life. And do that for a week and see how you feel after a week. I think that you'll start to notice a difference. And I'm just going to read a meditation by Jack Kornfield, who is a well-known Buddhist psychologist, about gratitude. And he has this meditation for gratitude that you can repeat to yourself, and it will change how you feel. So he says to sit down and sit comfortably and take a deep breath and let yourself relax, and then say to yourself, with gratitude, I remember the people, animals, plants, insects, creatures of the sky and sea, air and water, fire and earth, all whose joyful exertion blesses my life every day. With gratitude, I remember the care and labor of a thousand generations of elders and ancestors who came before me. I offer my gratitude for the safety and well-being I have been given. I offer my gratitude for the blessings of this earth I have been given. I offer my gratitude for the measure of health I have been given. I offer my gratitude for the family and friends I have been given. I offer my gratitude for the community I have been given. I offer my gratitude for the teachings and lessons I have been given. And I offer my gratitude for the life I have been given. And then just take a breath. All right. And remember, all of the ups and downs and the ebbs and flows of light, the dark moments and the light moments, this is the adventure that we call life. And having gratitude for this adventure and all that it consists of allows the darkness to be that catalyst for making the light that much brighter. So we need to be thankful for all of it. And when we are, we're resilient to the dark times. All right. So on that note, we're going to take a brief break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Kathy Sparrow and Molly Lord to talk about their workshop, Your Sacred Song, Reigniting Forgotten Dreams. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years on drmaracarpel.com and on blogtalkradio.com. And now joining me on the phone, we have both Kathy Sparrow and Molly Lord to talk about their upcoming workshop, Your Sacred Song, Reigniting Forgotten Dreams. Good evening, ladies.
Good evening. How are you, Mara? Thank you for having us. This is Kathy.
Hi, Mara.
Hi there. Well, thank you both for joining me. Just a brief reminder that there's a little bit of a delay when we talk like this.
So okay. Good to know.
Yeah. Yeah, with three of us, we could end up talking over each other very easily. Why don't we start with the two of you, each of you giving our listeners a little bit of your background.
Okay, this is Molly Lord. My company is Tuned In Productions, and boy, if anyone had told me that I would be doing what I'm doing right now based on my history, I wouldn't have believed it. But yet, as I connect all the dots, it was a perfect lead-in for 30 years. My background is in human behavior patterns, from teaching special education to being an education consultant, running several nonprofits, and being a mediator at the district attorney's office, of all things. It's been a crooked road. And all of it has been about what makes people do what they do. The way we do the things we do makes up who we are. It's an energy pattern. And so I became fascinated with that. And my love of music, I am not a musician. I don't play a note or sing. But I am fascinated with what happens when music crawls inside our heads, because I've noticed with myself the impact on my nervous system, my emotional state, my mental state. And so I started researching it about ago, and I thought it would take 3 months maybe to find out everything there was to know about why music affects us. And 12 years later, my work is accelerating instead of slowing down. So what I have done with my work is I combine the music that we love, from Beethoven and Bach to rock and roll and jazz, tying that into the behavior patterns, our habits in life, how music has interfaced and shaped those. So music makes it fun while we're doing this deep dive into how is it that I respond to life the way I do? So it's an awareness, all of my workshops, it's an awareness of what makes me tick and how have I used music and how can I use the music I love from this day forward to impact that. So sound changes us, and everything is vibration and frequency, including music, our thoughts, our emotions. And so basically my work is about finding, you know, if you can excuse the corny metaphor of where is the harmony, where is the dissonance. You know, Kathy and I were laughing earlier when we were talking about my metaphor, but it's so true that it's almost like we're this incredible orchestra that's playing this sweet song when we're in balance. But what happens is sometimes in life, metaphorically speaking, our second violin player loses their sheet music and they begin playing the wrong notes. And then pretty soon they're out of tune, and pretty soon the whole string section is off, and soon the entire orchestra sounds off. Well, that's what happens in our body and our emotional state. Something goes awry and everything goes out of harmony. We feel it. We say it. We say things like, this has been a bad week, or I'm just not myself. Or someone might come up and go, are you okay? You don't seem yourself. That's because our frequency has gotten off kilter. We want to bring that back into harmony. And so that's really what my work is about, is bringing things back into alignment. And music is like a pharmacy that we can use to help do that.
Okay, wow.
There we go.
That's very interesting, yeah. So Kathy, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about your background?
Well, I my work actually kind of reinforces what Molly's does too, because I look at the dissonance in people and help them overcome the why nots. And whether, you know, we're using music, I mean, I'm sorry, writing or fly fishing, we can bring ourselves into balance. So I am a writer. That's one of my loves. That is my sacred song, is to write and to help.
Did we lose Kathy?
I think we lost Kathy. All right. Are you still there, Molly?
I'm here. Yes, Molly.
Okay. All right. I thought it was my end. Okay. There she is, calling back in.
I guess I got a little bit out of harmony. I lost my sheet music there for a minute. So basically, I'm really an expert in helping people overcome their why nots. And I use writing and fly fishing and a method called the RIM method, which taps into our emotional operating system and looks at where we might have gotten out of kilter, where those why nots, that little voice that kicks in and says, well, you can't do that. Who are you to be writing books? Who are you to be out in the world doing this? Who are you to be running this corporation? You can, you know, all those why nots. And so my work is to help people get over those. Look, you know, really rewrite that story that we bought into through our upbringing, through culture, and then we can tap into our sacred song.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which and sort of brings us to why we decided to blend our work. It's a beautiful blending of everything people love to do. And some of it may not be in your repertoire, like the work that Kathy will explain in a little bit about. She uses fly casting to as a metaphor for how you approach life. And everyone loves music. And you put the two together and their jaws will drop saying, I never would have connected those dots, but now I get it. So we create what we realize that in our own lives and all of our clients' lives, most of our clients' lives, there seemed to be a thread, and that's that no one wants to die with their song still inside.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we feel overwhelmed with the details of life, and our dreams get buried, whether they're small, whether they're large, but they do get buried. And we say, maybe next week, maybe next month, maybe when I retire. And what happens when we start burying it is our spirit starts to die. We don't know why we're getting headaches. We don't know why we feel low, but we just know we feel off. Mm-hmm. And we wouldn't tie it to that we buried a dream 5 years ago. So to us, this is your sacred song, this voice you want to put out into the world that expresses who you are is your sacred song. When you give voice to your true purpose, it's sacred, and it's the song that your life is meant to sing. So this seminar is about uncovering that again. What is it? And we have special techniques to get to it pretty quickly of what is your purpose. And then once that's determined, so how do you want to live until you die? It's sort of a startling question. Someone asked me that once. What do you want to do till you die? Like, oh, is it that simple? And so we're going to unpack that and a step-by-step manner, we will unpack what has gotten buried, why do we do that? In your specific situation, what made you think you couldn't continue with that dream? And Kathy has these amazing techniques that unfold that answer before your very heart. And my work with the music and archetypes, I work with human behavior patterns called archetypes. You blend the two together, and people have this aha about how do I reconstitute this dream? And not so much to get committed to it. Kathy and I were talking about the word commitment. We talk about it a lot. It turns people off. It's harsh. It's what our job and our schooling and just that discipline that's needed to stay committed to something. We get fatigued of it. And we came up with a new understanding of it. And people will leave this workshop, the seminar, with a new relationship to this word called commitment, because instead it's inspired devotion. What is it you want to get redevoted to, and what will it take for you to feel inspired to do it, not get committed? Oh, yuck. How do we get re-inspired and devote ourselves to something that we said we weren't good enough, didn't have enough time, whatever reason we gave, which ones are we going to revive? And they will
and
with that.
Yeah, and one of the things about inspired devotion is it's, you know, where commitment takes will, takes discipline, it takes push. Inspired devotion is surrender. Surrender is really what we're being called to do, really being present in our lives and tapping into what we call the sacred song. And we want to make it clear, too, that sacred song isn't necessarily tied to an income or our career. It's how we show up, whether we're walking down the street and talking to our neighbors, showing up at the grocery store and giving the, you know, the checkout person a, you know, high five for coming in on a possibly a holiday, or how we show up for our family. And it could be. It could be directly tied to our career or income, but it doesn't have to be, because our sacred song is with us through our life. Into those golden years, Mara. And, you know, it...
Right.
And so that devotion, that inspired devotion, takes surrender, which is an act. It's not a willful. It's an act of participation and listening to really what we're called to do. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and when I listen to that, when I hear that word, it makes me feel good.
Doesn't
so
it? Yeah.
Together.
Yeah.
I
think this weekend retreat, it ties into, someone said something to me the other day. I was dealing with my phone and my computer, and it was the old trick of, well, did you turn it off and then turn it back on? And sometimes I forget to do that. Like, oh, yeah, basic 101. And I had to laugh when he said it, because I was working on my notes for this retreat, and I thought, oh, my God, that's so true. If we take time to unplug, when we plug it back in, anything can sound good and start working if we unplug it for just a few minutes. Well, we're going to unplug for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we plug back in, all the lights are going to come on. You go, oh, I'm inspired. And so between Thursday and Sunday will be these magical processes that we go through, not to analyze, but to inspire. Yeah, it's a great process.
And it sounds like you're not just, like you just said, Kathy, you're not just talking about your career or your income, which, you know, for some people it might be, but also things that people enjoy doing in their off time, right? That, you know, or in their retirement, or in their, you know, on their weekends, or, you know, so it
exactly.
could be anything.
It could be.
Right.
It's really, it's not the roles we play, but it's who we be, you know, who are we? You know, who really are we when we strip those roles away? And what is that essence of ourselves that we share with the world?
And it
could be whether we're writing, gardening, playing music, painting, like you do, Mara. You know, I mean, your essence is coming through your painting. It's coming through this radio show. It's coming through when you sit with the clients. And it's really who we are, not what we do.
Right.
And
well, then
I sorry, I overlapped.
Go on.
Well, I was going to say that I know in working with my clients, whether they're in a workshop or we're one-on-one mentoring, that I can spot, you know, there are big dreams and there are smaller visions that we've had that we dismiss for whatever reason. And I can always spot when someone has given in, not surrendered, there's a difference, just given up, because they say things like, well, you know, I've always wanted to take art lessons, but right now I'm just doing doodling. You know, and that's good enough. When I hear things like, well, you know, that's good enough. When someone, you hear it in their voice, this mediocre, something happens to our vibrational frequency in our body. It can be measured. When we settle for good enough, our spirit starts to die. And they can measure the power frequency coming from the human heart when we settle for mediocre. Our spirit says, really? So we're giving up, huh? And that's what we want to address. You know, some things were meant to be let go. What you dreamed of in your 20s, in your 40s, you may have said, oh, no, that's so not me. That was my 20-year-old speaking. But some things we let go and we went, oh, darn it. We want to pick up the, oh, darn it, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
good enough is never good enough.
Well, it sounds really exciting. So when is this exciting workshop happening?
So,
and where?
So it is happening September 7th through 10th in Manitou Springs, Colorado, at this gorgeous, absolutely phenomenal retreat center, the Sun Mountain Center. It's a early 1900s mansion. I mean, it is just, we walked in and I to tour the place, and I said, the answer is yes, let's just figure out when. It is just the perfect place to have a retreat. It's, you know, we can look at the mountains. We've got the Sunwater Spa just down the road where we get to go soak in minerals, cedar mineral spring spas, which is going to be part of it. But yeah, so it's September 7th through 10th in Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is near Colorado Springs, just about an hour and a half outside of Denver.
And how can people find out more about it and sign up for it? Where can they do that?
So the easiest thing would be to email me, and then I can send them the link because it's a really long, huge link. So my email is Kathy@KathySparrow.com, and it's Kathy Sparrow, like the bird, Sparrow. And I'll be able to send not only the flyer but also a link to registering. And for listeners of the show, we are offering a special discount, and the details will be in the email.
Oh, wonderful. So it's Kathy@KathySparrow.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to post that on my web post about this show so people can
awesome.
Find it there. And I will let people
mm-hmm.
know that it, you know, remind them that they get a discount. So they have to mention that they heard you on the show?
Yes, please.
Okay. All right.
And also to learn a little bit more about Molly, her website is mollylord.com.
Okay.
And I have taken Molly's workshop, and it was phenomenal. Blew my socks away. I was like, okay, I can see how we can work together. It was awesome. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Well, this sounds great. And oh yeah, the other questions I have is, who is this open to? Is it just for women? Is it for women and men?
Women and men. We even have a mom considering bringing her 20-year-old son. So it's really for people of all ages.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's for anybody.
Anybody. Yes.
Mhm. Okay. All
anybody,
right.
Okay.
You know,
anybody who feels out of tune, let's put it that way, and wants to get back in tune with their sacred song.
Right.
Back in tune with their
right.
life.
Mhm. Mhm. Okay. So that's probably most days. All right. So I'm gonna post all of that information on my web post this evening. And so if anybody misses that, if they didn't have the pen and paper ready and they missed it, they can just check out my website later tonight and they'll get all of that there. So
that's great, Mara. Thanks.
Sounds wonderful, and I thank you so much for coming on the program to talk about it, and I wish you a wonderful weekend. I hope you have beautiful weather and lots of fun.
We're planning on
thank
it.
Thank you. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. September in Colorado is usually pretty beautiful, isn't it?
It is. It
yeah.
is. And this spot is heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we're
offering, it's a pretty amazing offer cost-wise for this level of retreat center. So you can't lose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So thank you, Mara. I so appreciate you having us on.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
It really, yeah. And, it really fits in line. I really want to say this. It's all of this work. It's you talk about this work in your book that's going to be out next year.
Mm-hmm.
The Passionate Life. It's really about living a passionate life.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. That's why it's so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
I can't wait to read your book. Can't wait to read your book next year.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to get it out there for everybody to read.
Great. Well, thanks for letting us shine a light on this amazing event. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on the program.
All right.
And
thank you.
And have a good evening.
You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So we are going to be going off the air in just a couple of minutes. And before we do, I just want to let you know what's happening next week right here on Dr. Mara Karpel and Your Golden Years. We'll be back next Sunday live from right here in Austin, Texas, and we'll have another packed program. We have freelance writer and contributor to the Wall Street Journal, the Chopra Center for Wellbeing, publication, and Huffington Post, specializing in mental health and wellness. Emily Holland will join us from Chicago to talk about some of her findings in her writing research about stress. Her article, Six Lessons My Adventurous Grandpa Taught Me About Life. Laura Galazunas will report in from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and let us know what the retirees are up to. And Art Mendoza, musician and producer of this program, will be joining us to talk about some new projects that he's working on. And more. We will have more. So you want to tune in to find out what else will be on the program. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from the show and get the links to the websites that my guests talk about on the show, or to listen to previous programs, read my Huffington Post blogs, my Thrive Global blogs, my Medium.com blogs, watch the videos, find out about my upcoming book, you can find it all at my website, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. So take a look at the web post for this program later this evening, and you'll get all the information from this show that you need. Also, be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, and my new Facebook page, The Passionate Life by Dr. Mara Karpel. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to blogtalkradio.com, that's blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere, and by StoryHouse. And special thanks to my guests, Judy Levy, Kathy Sparrow, Molly Lord, and of course, thank you, Art. Thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Peace of mind! And I-
purpose of life and wish me more time for the state of mind.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.